Hey there, Mike Stelzner coming to you with a fascinating update you might not be familiar with. Did you know that Social Media Examiner can deliver all the marketing training, news, and trends, insights that you need into your inbox 3 days a week when you sign up for our newsletter, and it's completely free? Simply visit socialmediaexaminer.com/getupdates and take your marketing to the next level.
Welcome to the Social Media Marketing Podcast, helping you navigate the social media jungle. And now, here is your host, Michael Stelzner.
Hello, hello, hello. Thank you so much for joining me for the Social Media Marketing Podcast, brought to you by Social Media Examiner. I'm your host, Michael Stelzner, and this is the podcast for marketers and business owners who want to know how to navigate the ever-changing marketing jungle. Today, I'm going to be joined by Alan Weiss, and we're going to talk about how to use benefits as a competitive advantage in your business. By the way, I'm at Stelzner on Facebook, at Mike_Stelzner on Twitter/X. If you are new to this podcast, be sure to hit that little follow button on your favorite podcast app so you don't miss any of our future episodes. Let's transition over to this week's interview with Alan Weiss.
Helping you to simplify your social safari. Here is this week's expert guide.
Today, I'm very excited to be joined by Alan Weiss. If you don't know who he is, he's the founder of Marketing Profs, a business that trains B2B marketers. He's also the director of Mindful CGU. His latest book is The Brand Benefits Playbook, Why Customers Aren't Buying What You're Selling and What to Do About It. Alan, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
Well, thank you very much. I'm doing well. Thank you. I hope you and your audience is doing well.
Well, I'm super excited that you're here, Alan, and we're going to talk about how to use benefits as a competitive advantage for your business. But before we go there, I would love to hear a little bit of your backstory. How'd you get into marketing? Start wherever you want to start, and then you can bring us up to the present.
Oh, yeah. It's a little bit of a crazy story. I got a bachelor's degree in electrical engineering. And then I got a master's in counseling psychology.
Oh.
And then I became a professional musician.
Wow.
And toured for like 6 years.
What kind of music were you?
Oh, I was a songwriter. I had a band out of Kansas City, and we opened up for like Bonnie Raitt and Lynyrd Skynyrd and
wow,
those kinds of acts. And so then when I came back to school, I actually started a PhD in finance. And I was just studying finance, but then I met somebody who was in marketing, and we started talking, and then I realized I was more interested in marketing than anything else. So I switched into marketing, and then my first job was at Stanford University.
Is that where you got your PhD, or was that not?
Oh, no, I got my PhD at the University of Wisconsin.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you went to Stanford. So what did you do at Stanford exactly?
No, Stanford was a really good school to teach. I was teaching in the Graduate School of Business there. And it was a lot of fun. At that time, the students were really curious and all of these wonderful qualities. And so I could still perform in front of them. But then what happened was I got a nice offer from the University of Southern California. And it was down in Los Angeles where my family is. I ended up moving down to Los Angeles. And so that's where I taught and did all these other things for years. And so that's how I got into marketing.
Were you at Stanford or USC when you started Marketing Profs? Tell us a little bit about that story.
Oh, yeah, yeah. See, what happened was that in the 90s, they found a tumor that I had. So I ended up having surgery about 97. It turns out with this kind of tumor that I had, you just lose all interest in anything.
Huh.
And somebody just talked to me about like doing a website, you know, in 1999. Okay. And since I had electrical engineering background, I guess I thought that was really cool. So I made a website for my students. And it turned out that when I presented it, the students hated it because, you know, they thought, oh, my God, this guy is giving me much more stuff to do. So I just took it down and I put it on my own server. And then I looked for a name. And so I just came up with this name, Marketing Profs. And so that's what I did for like 2 years, just, you know, having fun and not even thinking about money or anything like that. And then Ann Hanley contacted me. We started talking. When she came, she brought somebody who was a salesperson for advertising. And so that's how the whole thing started.
So tell us, in the early days, was it just a blog or what was it exactly?
Oh, no, it was if you remember at the very beginning of the internet, you could just go out and you could find really good content. Like I remember going to like a paint store and they would have something like an article about like colors and how it affects people. And so you could just email them and say, can I put that on my website? You know, everybody was just trading content. That's the way it started. And so we were like one of the first places that where people could actually publish stuff. I was like the editorial staff. And eventually I turned that over to Anne, and then she turned it over. That's just the way it worked.
Very interesting. So basically what I'm hearing you say is you guys were like a content aggregator back in the early days, right? Where you would publish other people's content. And there was also Social Media Today, I think, also did something very similar in the early days where they would find other bloggers. And back then there was a lot of bloggers publishing a lot of content, right?
Oh, yeah.
So you brought it all together, and then I'm assuming you added a newsletter into the thing, and that's how you guys were able to build this media company. Is that fair?
Yeah, yeah. And then my wife said, you know, you guys ought to charge for it. So that we were one of the first places that had a pro subscription model. It was a lot of fun because, you know, these were people who were just, you know, we just did fun things. Anne said to me that she never wanted to do an event because she hated events. And it's really funny because like years later, that's all she does is events.
Yeah.
It was pretty wild.
Very cool. So bringing us up to the present, are you still teaching? And if you are, tell us that. And then also what prompted you to want to write this book?
My wife, it turns out that she wrote a book called Brand Admiration. Okay. What happened was I was in the 90s before I found that I had this tumor. I was doing a lot of consulting work for Informix and Texas Instruments and some of the big companies. And I was using, I didn't use the word benefit, but I was always saying to them, we need these things that customers care about. Okay. And so then when we started talking, I knew, oh, okay, these are benefits. So we just started sitting around and talking about it. And my wife said, well, why don't you just write it? And I said, no, I would like it if you would do it with me. So the two of us put it together. So it was a lot of fun. We wrote it like in 1 year. It was a lot of fun.
Outstanding. You've got obviously a lot more background in marketing than we've really tapped into, because it seems as if you've been teaching marketing both undergrad and graduate, or has it all been graduate school?
It's all been graduate.
Yeah. Yep. So it's more advanced form. You've been teaching marketing for many, many decades. And
right,
obviously you also have a lot of experience with everything that you all have done with marketing prof side of things. Transitioning into benefits. I know what benefits mean, and because I've been a writer for a very long time, but some of my audience might not really understand the importance of benefits. And I know this is something a lot of people struggle with, right? Which is they think something's a benefit, but it's not really a benefit. So before we get into like the details on benefits, I want to just explain why benefits are so important. Let's just start there.
Sure. I mean, Theodore Levitt talked about it in 1960, et cetera, when he said the difference between a quarter-inch drill and a quarter-inch hole, okay? And he talked about marketing myopia. It turns out that there's a lot of other reasons for doing this, because it also helps you anticipate competition, okay? It also helps you provide clear path for growth and also like developing new product ideas. In the book, we talk about like 8 or 9 reasons why companies should be doing this, because it's so important. I think that's the reason. These reasons are really why companies should do it, but hardly any companies do it.
Talk to me about this quarter-inch drill thing in a little bit more detail, just so I can wrap my head around that.
Yeah, I think most companies really just look at like their features and their attributes. And I always say, you're just talking about yourself rather than the customer. And so you have to really get into the customer. And so it's really important. I mean, especially when companies say, we're really customer focused, and then they talk about their features and all of this stuff about themselves. So it's very different.
So what I'm hearing you saying then on this quarter inch drill versus quarter inch hole, what I'm hearing you say is people don't want a quarter inch drill bit. They want a hole that's a quarter inch.
That's right.
And that's where we get sometimes mired up in our brain, because internally we talk about these widgets and tools and part numbers, and we speak a different language than the customer is really what I'm hearing you say, right? And the objective here is to like really understand what the customer wants, because it's almost never what your boss wants you to do, right? Like the boss always wants you to talk about this feature or that feature, when the truth of the matter is most customers could care less about those features. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Yeah, I know. It's really hard sometimes to convince people that this is important. I think when people do that, it really transforms the marketing, because it makes it a lot easier. Like right now with benefits, it applies to everything. I'll give you an example. I'm now working with the city of Riverside. Okay. We're going to look at the benefits of a city, but you know, it applies to a city, it applies to musicians, it applies to startups, big companies, national park, or anything like that.
Awesome. So let's explore, in your book, you have different kinds of benefits, right?
Right.
So let's explore a couple of the most common types of benefits and maybe define them a little bit and give some examples.
It's pretty simple. I mean, I shouldn't say it's simple. There's three types of benefits. Okay. So the first type is called functional. And you might think about it as what it does for me. And so this is like solutions to problems and challenges, and saving resources like time, et cetera. And examples are like reliability or ease of installation, you know, because these things, what they do is they conserve resources or they save time. A second type is really interesting. It's called symbolic. Okay. And that's more like who I am. Or I want something that expresses my coolness, or I want to, you know, et cetera, my moral values group. So, you know, you can think about like Patagonia, who says we're in business to save our home planet. That's a symbolic benefit. Okay. And then the last type is called experiential. Okay. And this is more like how I feel. Like it could be nostalgia, excitement, empathy, something that's pleasant to look at, hear, taste, or touch, or smell. So, you know, when you think about, Apple was really good with this, you know, because what they would do is they would open a box of technology really slowly. They made it feel really good. And then that took off. Everybody, like now, it's all about opening a pack, a technology.
Right.
It was coming from there. But that's an experiential benefit. But, you know, if you have a wonderful meal that tastes good, or you hear music that I said, so that's the third type. These three types usually are common in a lot of consumer products, okay? And the functional ones are primarily like B2B, but some companies, I'm sure, are going to eventually go into symbolic benefits or experiential benefits.
Yeah. Can we explore this a little bit? I'd love to ask a couple clarifying questions. So first of all, I love the fact that you've broken them down into functional, symbolic, and experiential.
Yeah.
I think experiential is the easiest for people to understand, because if they've ever been to Disneyland, it's a great example of like, you feel like a kid again, right?
Exactly. If it's like, oh, this expresses my kid, then that's more like symbolic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm cool.
But there is an experience you're going through, right? So people can understand experiential because you're in a space that's designed to create an experience, right? And restaurants obviously makes a lot of sense. Conferences make sense, right? Because obviously marketing profs, social media examiner, we both put on conferences where there is something they're experiencing. But it sounds like it doesn't need to be a physical experience to be experiential. Is that correct? Can you explore that side of it a little bit?
Yeah. If people feel this conference is going to make me a great marketer.
There you go.
Okay. Then that's a symbolic benefit that they get from it. These are really powerful. I mean, if you think, you know, St. Jude's Children's Hospital, it says finding cures, saving children. You know, these are all symbolic. Or even when Nike did Just Do It, it's kind of like, that's what I'm saying. It's like who I am as a person. That's the way symbolic works. It's really interesting. Once you start seeing that, you start seeing all the ways that people relate to all of their products and their cars and everything.
Couple questions. In an ideal world, do we want to trigger all three of these benefits in our marketing?
Well, that's really interesting. There's very few companies who do all three, okay? But my wife has a book called Brand Admiration. And what they do is they show that the most admired companies do all three of those times.
Mired is that, what do you mean by mired? Is that good or bad? I'm not sure I use that word very often.
No, you don't see it very often, but you know, you do see those. Most companies, that's what I'm saying, like in B2B, they use a lot of functional benefits.
Right.
That's why I'm saying you get into the consumer side, you start bringing in symbolic and experiential, because that's the way a lot of companies, especially people who make clothes and hotels and things like that, they use these other benefits.
So just out of curiosity, since you mentioned Apple earlier, it feels as if they do use functional benefits when they're doing their product announcements, right? Because they'll get into their chips and technology and kind of the cool little things the Apple Watch can do or something like that, right?
Right.
But they also feel like they've also used this symbolic thing a lot, because a lot of creative people feel like their technology is for creative-minded people. Would you agree that those are the two, or do they also use experiential as well now that they've got even more stuff they're doing? I'm just curious from your perspective, how would you classify Apple?
Apple is like one of these companies who use all of these three, especially if you go to one of the Apple stores, it was like the way it was laid out. It was really nice.
Right.
You know, the people are really friendly. And so you get a lot of these experiential benefits. Things are really nice to touch. And so Apple has always been much better than a lot of companies are, who just focus on like just these functional benefits.
Right. Now that we understand these three different types, experiential, symbolic, and functional, how do we actually put them to work inside of our marketing? How can we improve our marketing with these benefits?
You know, one of the ways that we explain in the book, there's a number of different kinds of things, but one of these things is called laddering. Okay. And you can just do it for yourself and just say, why? Okay. So if somebody says, oh, I like that feature, and you say, okay, why? Why do you like that feature?
Oh.
And, you know, the people will tell you eventually if they say, if you know how to do this right, you can move up from the feature, and the next thing you know, you'll be talking about the consumer or the customer. Okay. And so a laddering is one of the best ways to get there.
Can we hypothetical that a little bit, maybe together, just so people understand how that works? Like, I don't know, maybe you could take an example that you've taught or that a client has, like you said, you're working with the city. How would that work? The ladder sounds like it has steps, right? So like, what kinds of questions specifically will we be asking to go from? Didn't you say it was Riverside? Is that where you said you're working with?
Yeah, that's one of the cities that I'm working
with. So like, let's just take Riverside, for example. What's one of the features of Riverside? Is it on the ocean or something?
Think about cities. Okay, so they say, oh, I've got this university, I've got really great schools, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
And you say, well, why do you want that? And people might say, you know, eventually say, you know, I want my kids to become great citizens. I'm going to be a proud person. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's just, you're just asking, why do you want that? Why do you like that? It doesn't take that much time. You can see that consumers or customers, they'll start talking about themselves. It takes a little bit of time to really figure this out, because it's really easy. And for a lot of people, they just go right to like a goal, which is too far, okay? Or pain, that's way too far. You know, I always say, when people say pain, and I always go like, who wants pain? They don't want pain.
Right.
You know, what they want is a solution to that.
Right. So in the case of the university, let's just take that case. There's a university, let's say, in this city that's prestigious and they want their child to graduate from a prestigious university, let's say, right?
Right.
Then would you ask why is that important so that you could get to deeper? And maybe they'd say, well, because I think it'll help my daughter in her career, right? Maybe that's the next thing, right?
Right.
Would you keep asking or would you just stop there?
I would still ask them because maybe what the real benefit is a sense of security.
There you go.
Okay. Because if my kids are going to be okay in the world, I'm going to feel much more secure. And that's where I would stop when I got to like a sense of security.
That's a symbolic benefit, right?
Yeah, that's a symbolic benefit.
So they might not tell you security, but you could discern that from what they're telling you, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And then if you put this in your marketing, you could say something along the lines of the place where successful careers are started or something along those lines, right?
Right. Well, the first thing, and we talk about this, most markets have about 8 to 10 benefits, okay, when you think about a market. And when you start seeing these benefits, you'll see that people are willing to trade off. And so some people will want some of those benefits more and much more than the other. And then that's the way you start segmenting the market. And then eventually you're going to have to choose exactly which one you're going to go after. But then you'll know, like, for example, two benefits that those customers are really want the most. I mean, I can give you an example.
Please.
Yeah. Okay. So think about home insurance. Okay. There's probably about 8 or 9 companies that are out there. But if you start thinking about like, what are the benefits? One of the benefits is convenience. Okay. And as we talk about in the book, price by itself is not a benefit, but if it goes low, then that becomes a benefit. So if you take those two things, and so now you just know you have convenience and price.
Yeah, I can hear there. Liberty Mutual, right?
Yeah, exactly. Only pay for what you need. They keep saying this over and over and over. And they, if you go into social media, if you go to TikTok, you'll see the same message over and over and over. Now, here's the interesting thing. When we were writing the book, I found this guy from a State Farm who said all of the companies can provide that benefit. Oh, he didn't say the benefit, but they can customize your thing. But the difference is Liberty Mutual advertises that everywhere. And so that's why they have great recall by consumers, et cetera. And everybody knows. Every time I tell this about Liberty Mutual, people almost immediately say, okay, only pay for what you need.
What kind of a benefit category does that fall under?
Oh, customization is more like a functional benefit.
Okay.
It's been around for hundreds of years. I mean, if you think about like convenience, like malls, if you go to a mall, if they exist anymore, they'd have like these end stores. Okay, so why do people go there? Well, probably because it's a one-stop shopping, right? It's one stop, okay? So it's very convenient, okay? And so these are benefits that have been around for hundreds of years.
Did you know that we can deliver awesome marketing info directly into your inbox? Simply subscribe to our weekly newsletter that comes out 3 days a week. You won't miss any of the updates going on in the world of social marketing. Visit socialmediaexaminer.com/get updates. You know, it's funny. State Farm does a lot of advertising too. I think, isn't theirs, we're here when you need us or something like that? I'm trying to remember.
Yeah.
And then I also think of USAA because I'm in Southern California and they always have this little USAA because they're mostly military, you know, and they've got this kind of chant. And I feel like it's really subtle, these things, but they can signal something really valuable to the target audience, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like if it's that might be a really good symbolic benefit.
Right.
You know, that I think of myself as a military person and I want to go with somebody.
Yeah, military people are reliable. They're going to be there and they're going to get it done. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Fascinating. So this segmenting your messaging thing, is the Liberty Mutual example part of segmenting? I want to go back to that for a second. You mentioned earlier that there's a bunch of different benefits that we might come up with, like maybe up to 10. But when it comes to segmenting them, does that mean we might have multiple markets that we're trying to attract and we should use different benefits depending on how we're marketing to the different subsegments?
Yeah. I mean, first step, because I do a lot of consulting that uses this, but you know, the first question I have is like, what is the market? You have to understand a market is not real. It's all in your head. Okay. Because you can't touch, feel, or taste a market. Okay. So it's just an idea. So the first question is like, how do you bound the market? Okay. Once you get that, and then you can start thinking about like, what are the benefits of the customers? What benefits are they looking for? Okay. For like in the product category that I happen to be working in, you know, and how do they make trade-offs with benefits, et cetera. Once you do that, you start seeing immediately that some people are going to be like, let me give you an example. Like I did this work with a protective, it's called FNAFI. And what they do is they help companies so that nobody can get into their computers. Okay. So they're in this kind of industry. You know, the first thing I did with them, I had like 50 people in the room. And we first figured out like, what are the benefits of the market? And then we started thinking about who cared about more some things, et cetera. They ended up seeing by virtue of this that Amazon was coming into their market. All of a sudden they said, oh my God, they're coming in to our market. Because that's what I'm saying is that you can start seeing these competition. Because there were some companies who by virtue of like what other kinds of technologies that they have, and by virtue of having these kinds of like legacy equipment, they care more about like compatibility or something like that, okay, which is a benefit. But if you go to another segment, they don't care about compatibility. That's not really what they're looking for. They're just looking for something that's just really low price, okay? That's all they care about. And that's where Amazon was coming in on this low price. They weren't even protecting. They were doing a really light job of protection and people didn't care about it in this other segment. And so this is what I mean. You start seeing the market in a completely different way. That's like one of the things that I've done is once we segment the market, I start asking questions like, where are your competitors? And since none of the competitors are using benefits, I mean, if you use benefits, you're probably not going to have any competitors who are going to be doing this. But once you do this, you can start thinking about, okay, let's think about this competitor. Where are they really operating in this market? And you can almost immediately say, okay, they're over here and another one is over here, et cetera. And so this all goes into like, okay, where am I going to position myself in this market?
You know, this is interesting. I'd love to like just share something with you and we can free flow this a little bit. But I think about like Social Media Examiner and Marketing Profs, right? We're targeting marketers, right? Marketing Profs is very B2B focused, right? Where Social Media Examiner is both B2C and B2B, right? And then I start to layer in like, okay, in my case, my audience is smaller businesses. So we're talking like 100 employees or less typically. Many of them work inside a business they do not own. So the struggle of the marketer working in a business they don't own is very different than the marketer who owns an agency or the marketer who's a consultant or the marketer who's a coach or author. And it's like the benefits of going to an event like Marketing Profs or Social Media Marketing World are very different depending on that market, right? So for the solo creator, entrepreneur, agency, they're going there to find business. They're going there for prospects, where the person who is working in marketing in a company is going there to learn. You know what I mean? And you have to develop different sets of benefits, right?
Yeah, right, exactly. They're looking for different benefits. You know, some of this is that they just need time, you know, and they want to get leads or something like that.
Right.
But that's a lot different than somebody who cares about the benefit of just learning. Yeah. And so you can, you see this naturally, you know, in these kinds of situations. What I hear, at least, you know, like in a lot of B2B, everybody's like into vertical marketing. Okay. We actually give an example in the book where we look at two verticals like retail. I guess it's like healthcare. Okay. And what we do, as I show, if instead you segment the benefits, okay, what you'll do is you'll find that there's some of the people who are looking for these benefits. You're going to see healthcare and retail. They're going to look very similar together because they're looking for the same benefits. But you see, when they just split it out by two different things, your message is going to be sloppy. But once you get clear about the segment and what they care about, your message is just really clear. That's what I'm saying, is that the reason why I always go back to Liberty Mutual, because you know, people will say, oh, I'm in a really difficult market because I've got a lot of competitors. Well, you should be in the home insurance, you know, market, because there's so many of them. But they've been able to find a segment who cares mostly about convenience and a lower price. It wouldn't take rocket science to segment that market, but they've been able to like find a segment that they can go after.
I'm curious about this because I know so many of my listeners are definitely targeting different segments, right? Do you recommend taking like a Venn diagram and looking for the overlap and looking at the benefits that they all share in common? Or do you recommend looking at the biggest market that you have the most customers in and focusing on them and really what the benefits are to them and not worrying so much about maybe the little markets that might be around the periphery?
Exactly. Once you understand, like I did this for Texas Instruments. Okay. So I helped position their digital signal processor in Europe. What I was given was the middle market. Okay. So that's really a large area. When I work with these engineers and marketers and salespeople, when we identified all the benefits, it turns out that they identified three segments of the market. Okay. And there was one segment who cared about performance, which Texas Instruments was all about. You know, we just have really good performance. But there was another segment that really cared about ease of use, but they were getting killed by ADS, who was going after that other segment. But that's where the whole market was going to. Okay. And so when we started working on this, we saw that while the size of that segment was not that big, but every indication was that over time, that was going to become the most dominant. And so it forced, you know, started thinking about developing. I remember asking everybody, I said, do you have technical documentation? And they said, no, we don't really don't have that sort of stuff. I said, well, that's exactly what ADS does. You need to start doing that if you're going to go appealing to that segment, because that segment is not going to go with you. Well, I just call that a migration targeting. So it doesn't mean that you can't go after all these segments. And so that's what we have in the book. We have stress tests, and one of them is about your competencies. Okay. But this also has to do with competition. And so we have a section on competition. And, you know, what you're doing is saying, okay, well, maybe I'm going to go after this one segment right now, and I'm going to start working on what's on the benefits that another segment needs. And then eventually I'll move over and have both of those segments. Okay.
The Arm & Hammer one, you and I talked about Arm & Hammer when we were prepping for this. This is probably a good place for you to talk about that a little bit, about how they've been able to do that.
Yeah, sure. Okay. You know, this is like how you grow. Arm & Hammer used to be just a baking soda. Okay. Now, if they just stayed as a baking soda and that's all they were, you know, they'd have a really small market. But what they did was they understood that baking soda also had a benefit of reducing odor. And once they understood that, they were able to take their basic idea and put it into toothpaste, kitty litter, you know, it just goes on and on. If you go to the Arm & Hammer site, they're probably in 10 different industries that they've been able to go after. And this is the way that really good companies who understand the benefits that are able to grow. You can also grow by doing brand extensions and all of these things. And we talk about all this in the last chapter. We show companies who are really good, who've been able to, by understanding the benefits of customers. And what they do is they find maybe one benefit that they're really known for, and then they can take that and they can do joint ventures with other companies because they're going to bring that benefit with it, et cetera, et cetera. And so it's really great to watch these companies who know how to grow, you know, based on the benefits of the customer.
Alan, this has been an absolutely fascinating discussion. If people want to grab your book, which I'm going to tell everybody the title again, it's called The Brand Benefits Playbook. I would imagine they can get that anywhere they can get books. If they want to connect with you on the socials, do you have a preferred social platform? And if they want to check you out, do you also have a place you want to send them other than the socials?
Well, you can learn about the book and all of that by just going to the Brand Benefit Playbook as one word .com. Okay. And then that has, you can get a free chapter from them and you can do all these other things. And so that's one way to stay in contact. I'm on LinkedIn as Alan Weiss. And you can always contact me at Marketing Profs. I'm just AMW. That's my middle. Those are my initials, AMW at marketingprof.com. It's easy to get in contact. It'd be great if this became much more used in companies because their messages would be a lot clearer and people would, and it makes your marketing really much easier.
Alan Weiss, thank you so much for coming on the show and answering all my questions.
Thank you so much, Michael. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Hey, if you missed anything, we took all the notes for you over at socialmediaexaminer.com/608. If you're new to the show, be sure to follow us. If you've been a longtime listener, would you let your friends know about this show? I'm at Stelzner on Facebook and at Mike_Stelzner on Twitter. And also do check out our other shows, the Marketing Agency Show and the Social Media Marketing Talk Show, each publishing every single week. We've got three total shows you can listen to every week. This brings us to the end of the Social Media Marketing Podcast. I am your host, Michael Stelzner. I'll be back with you next week. I hope you make the best out of your day and may your marketing keep evolving.
The Social Media Marketing Podcast is a production of Social Media Examiner.
Want more good stuff? Sign up for our top-notch social marketing newsletter. We deliver it straight into your inbox 3 days a week. Visit socialmediaexaminer.com/getupdates.